By PAX Inc. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And if you'd like to learn more about PAX Inc., remember to visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. While you're on the website, make sure you hit that look at the menu and you can learn more about the codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved with the organization. There's a Learning Center tab. Make sure you click on that Learning Center tab. There's a drop-down box with a number of different resources that you can use to enhance your knowledge base. And once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, my co-host Patrick Irvin, and shout out to Patrick, who couldn't make it today, but shout out to him. You learn more about the Shelby's World podcast, the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen podcast, and the Enigma September podcast, all of the podcasts here on the Freedom Train Network. Once again, visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. All right, so we got a good one today. This is a highly anticipated interview for myself. I came across this woman's information, scrolling through YouTube. I think I was at work one day. It was just one of those days I was at work, done with all my actual work that I need to do, scrolling through YouTube, watching videos, and I came across a YouTube channel called Sex is Medicine. And, of course, all of our listeners, you know, that caught my attention. So I wanted to learn more because that's a very, very interesting title, Sex is Medicine. And as I explored more into this YouTube channel, I actually found the podcast that's associated with it. And then just listening to the information that this young lady was given, I was my mind was blown. It was great information. It was practical information. So our guest today, her name is Debbie Ward Erickson. She is the founder of the Institute of Authentic Tantra Education, which is the first and only government-accredited professional training institute using the Tibetan five-element tantric process for holistic sexual healing. She is an ACS-certified sexologist, certified tantric healer, certified Reiki practitioner, certified meditation instructor, and has been teaching meditation and personal growth workshops for over 20 years. She is an author, and as I said, she's the host of the Sex is Medicine podcast with Debbie Ward Erickson. I want everybody to put your hands together. I want, and not just a regular round of applause. I want you all to get up out of your seats, and I want y'all to put your hands together and just give it all you got for our great guest, Miss Debbie Ward Erickson. Now, come on, give it up. I want all my crowd. There you go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Yay. I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. That was a wonderful, wonderful welcome.
No problem. I'm trying to improve my welcoming. I just love doing it, but once again, you are one of the guests that I circled your name. It was on like my when you put those lists together, like I have to have this guest on my podcast. So I'm just so excited to have you. So once again, thank you.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
Yes, ma'am. So for those who don't know about you. And could you give some background information about yourself and kind of what led you to becoming a certified sexologist? Like, how did you get into all of this information?
Yeah, well, it was a big surprise for me and completely unplanned. So,
okay.
a little background. So my family is from Detroit. I was born in Washington D.C., but my mom and my dad were both from Detroit. And so when I was a teenager, and in college, I was living in Detroit, and I was a stripper. I was a stripper in Detroit. And that was my kind of my introduction to the sensual arts. And then after that, I had a long history of trauma. I had sexual abuse trauma and physical abuse trauma, and grew up in a home of domestic violence and just all kinds of suffering that I experienced. I had roughly a failed suicide attempt at the age of 19. So it was pretty messed up, and I was really, really in pain, and I was looking for peace. I was looking for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up becoming a monk in a spiritual organization called the Ashaya Ascension, and devoted the next decade of my life to practicing and teaching the Ashaya's Ascension meditation. So that took me until about the age of 32, 33, when I made my way to Kauai, Hawaii. And I was given the opportunity to train in this traditional Tibetan five element sexual healing practices. And because I had committed my life to spiritual healing, I was very interested in learning how to incorporate sexuality into that process. This was entirely new territory for me. Up until that time, I had done all the new age healing things. I had, done raw foods. I had done fasting. I did crystal healing. I was certified in Reiki, like all the woo-woo things that are out on the market now. But the one thing that I hadn't learned anything about or had any, education or training around was sexuality, and specifically how to utilize your sexual energy for spiritual realization and for spiritual growth. So when the opportunity presented itself to me to train in these lineage-based methods for sexual healing, I agreed to go through a six-month period of intensive training. And so when I was, I think it was like May of 2008, I began my training in the Tibetan Five Element Sexual Tantras. And the healing that occurred from these, within the first few weeks, the healing that occurred from using these methods was so revolutionary. It was so profound. I mean, there really aren't words to describe. The healing wasn't just about my sexuality. The healing was about my mind. The healing was about confronting all of the trauma that I had, was trying to disassociate from my entire life, and that I hadn't processed, and that I hadn't recognized, and that I hadn't dealt with. And this gave me tools to be present with it, to heal it, to process it, and finally to release it fully.
Okay.
And I very quickly changed traditions and became a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner and began training in non-sexual Tibetan Buddhist practices under the guidance of my teacher, whose name is Lama Tashi Dundrup. And after several years of working with both the sexual and non-sexual methods under Lama Tashi's guidance, he gave me permission to share these methods with other people, to go out and teach on my own. And that was very, again, it was very consequential, because these Tibetan healing methods used specifically with sexuality have never been taught in the West before. They are ancient teachings that are several thousand years old that literally have never been taught openly in the West. And so he gave me and our school permission to share them openly. So it was through this process that I became a certified sexologist as well, because these are, the field is, it's our orientation is sexual healing, and teaching people, educating people about how our sexual energy and our sexual pleasure is literally medicine for the body, mind, and spirit. And through this process, there's a professional organization called the American College of Sexologists International that saw my work and really valued it, and they offered credentials to me and all of the graduates from our training program.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. And I think one of the greatest parts about it is your education in it, because I'm learning more about the spiritual aspect of sex, or the holistic aspect of sex. I always looked at sex from a perversion aspect, because that's how I was taught about sex until I started studying it on my own. And when I started studying it on my own, I used to say that there's a science to sex. And as I've learned more, I now understand and say that there is a wholeness, there's a spiritual aspect to sex. And I'm in Florida, so we're in the deep South, we're in the Bible Belt. So in this area, you have sex, and you have a lot of sex, but you don't talk about it, and you don't learn anything about it. And that's why I'm so grateful for you being here today, because we get to expand our perception of sex, rather than just what is taught or through a pornographic lens or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Very true. And that's the beauty of these Eastern traditions, is several thousand years ago, and again, they are several thousand years old, but they're still very relevant today. And they knew and understood that sexual pleasure is healthy. It's an appetite. In the Taoist tradition that comes from ancient China, they often talk about our sexual libido and our sexual desire, like your appetite for food. And so like when we get hungry, we don't get mad at ourselves or feel shame or guilt because we're hungry and we need to eat food. We understand well, it's normal. You have to eat food in order to survive. Well, that's the way they viewed sexuality and sexual pleasure and sexual appetite. It's a normal, healthy appetite. And so these societies didn't have all this shame and all this toxicity and all of this dysfunction in regards to sexuality, because they viewed it as a natural, healthy expression of what it is to be a healthy human being.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense. That definitely makes sense, rather than coming from a culture of seeing sex as shameful, even though you know people are having sex, but it's still seen as shameful. Yeah, that makes sense. And it makes it more of a healthy exchange when you're doing it.
Well, yeah, and shame is a trauma, right? So if you think about it in this culture, like our society teaches us to feel shame and embarrassment and guilt about something that's totally natural and totally normal. And that actually creates emotional and psychological trauma and wounding. So what we see in our culture in regards to sexuality is actually an expression of trauma. Our society is a very dysfunctional relationship to sexuality. It isn't healthy. So that's why you see these things like extreme pornography, which I want to say that, like, I have friends who are sex workers and friends who are in the porn industry, and pornography can be done in a way that's healthy and enriching and supportive. Mm-hmm. But when you combine porn with shame and guilt, you're creating a really, like, a toxic soup. And that's why you see so much dysfunction and so much addiction around pornography, is that people don't have healthy resources available to cultivate a more, as you said, holistic, a more wholesome, a more integrated experience of their sexuality.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely understand that. So let's kind of, I want to start from the beginning. So what, and from your training, from your experiences, what is sex? Like, what's the purpose of sex, and how can sex be beneficial?
Yeah, that is such a great, great question. So in my training in the Tibetan Tantric tradition, everything is very multifaceted, right? So on the most base physical level, we understand that sex is for procreation. We create other human beings, and that's a miracle. Like, it is an absolute miracle that two human beings come together, ideally in love, and we know it doesn't always happen that way, but ideally in love.
Right.
And you literally create another human being. I mean, that truly is a miracle. It really is. But we also know that every time we make love, we're not creating babies. So where does all that energy go? So from the tantric perspective, sexual energy and sexual pleasure is vital life force energy that we can cultivate and we can use to heal and enrich our energy body, to heal and enrich our physical body, and to cultivate vitality in every area of our lives. It is literally, okay, it is literally life force. It's literally life force energy. And if we can use mindfulness and presence, and that's, you know, really what these tantra teachings are all about, to consciously cultivate this energy in a way that's enriching and delicious and wholesome and healthy, it will literally heal our bodies. It will heal our energy body, which if you do yoga, you'll be familiar with the energy body, and it actually can heal, it can actually heal and release trauma, repair our nervous system, and repair traumatized neural pathways in the brain. So we really truly embrace the concept that sexual pleasure is in fact medicine, and it is our birthright to understand and know how to cultivate it and use it accordingly.
Wow. Okay. Now, yes, that definitely makes sense. And it makes sense for me personally because a lot of the studying that I've done and learning about the life force that sex can bring or can help enhance, and how a lot of the practices that we learn here in the West, as far as it, like semen retention, for example, that's something new that I'm learning. So when you said the life force, that's one of the things that I thought about is we're taught to continuously spill our semen as men, just continuously spill, whereas in the East, it's talked about semen retention and preserving your life force, and as you spoke about, transforming your life force. And it's just the differences in the mind states really stands out. From your experience, coming up in Eastern cultures, do you see a lesser occurrence of sexual trauma in these aspects or within these cultures, with all of the differences in the teachings, with a teaching of healing versus a teaching of trauma? Within the teachings of healing, do you see less occurrences of sexual trauma?
Yes, but keeping in mind, again, that these teachings are several thousand years old. So you have to account for, you know, the patriarchy, right? So for the last couple thousand years old and more, it's been a very, you know, male-dominated society. And in included in that, there's been a lot of suppression of healthy sexuality. And this has been going on for centuries, if not thousands of years. And so in the Eastern traditions today, they're actually very shut down. Like if you look at China, China's a communist country, and they're completely repressed sexually. The Tibetan tradition has been held mostly by monks, and they have aversion to women. I mean, they treated women terribly. They're very, very misogynistic. In India, the Indian culture is very patriarchal, very misogynistic today. So what we're drawing upon, again, are teachings that are several thousand years old that have been passed down through scripture and that sort of thing. And so in that context, yes, there's a lot less sexual trauma. But I would have to say today, I would say that sexual trauma and is one of the most prevalent forms of trauma on this entire planet. And it is a result of the patriarchy. It is a result of disconnecting and disassociating from our humanity.
All right, that makes sense. Okay, that definitely makes sense. All right, so my next question comes from my experience as a HIV/AIDS counselor, tester, educator. For the past 10 years, I've taught HIV STD prevention, and within that, we've learned that we have to talk about sexual education. We have to learn more about sexual education. We have to learn more about sex. And the aspect of having good sex, the aspect of having pleasurable sex, because when I'm thinking about, when I say sexual trauma, I don't mean it in the traditional sense, but more so if a guy is trying to penetrate a woman and she's not lubricated enough to receive, he could cause some kind of trauma there trying to penetrate her. And I understand arousal has a lot to do that. I understand connection has a lot to do that. So during sexual education, do you think it's important to not just teach about basic sex, like this is sex, birds, well, not even the birds and bees, throw that out, but real sexual education, but not just how to have sex, but how to have good sex as well. Do you think both of those aspects should be taught?
Absolutely. I mean, as you've okay. been saying, I mean, you've obviously been doing your homework. That's apparent in everything that you're saying. So yeah, and so that in the field of sexology is referred to as pleasure-based sex education. So mm-hmm. sex education isn't just, you know, the sperm leaves the penis and goes to the egg, and then you have the cells divide and all of that, and here's how to prevent diseases and illnesses, and okay, go have fun, right? Or don't have fun.
Right.
The message that we get in mainstream sex education is here's how it happens, but don't do it. Right, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it until you're married,
right.
And then all of a sudden when you're married,
right.
you're supposed to know how everything works. And then, but you're not supposed to talk about it with your partner. Your partner's just supposed to show up in bed, magically knowing exactly what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever taught anybody. So we're literally like
right.
bumbling around in the dark, totally confused, and not talking about it because we're too embarrassed and ashamed. So absolutely,
mm-hmm.
could you imagine if when you were a little child, so here's one of the things I teach often is that sexual
mm-hmm.
shame is learned behavior. So for all of our listeners right now, if you feel shame or embarrassment
right.
about your sexuality, it's because somebody taught you that. That is not inherent.
Mm-hmm.
We are not born with sexual shame. It is learned behavior.
Right.
So imagine if when you were a little child, you learned from your parents that sex is healthy and pleasure is healthy and that you do it with people that you love and respect, right? And that mommy and daddy
right.
or you know, mommy and boyfriend or daddy and girlfriend, however it works out in your family dynamic, are demonstrating healthy intimacy on a regular basis. And then imagine in 7th, 8th, 9th grade, instead of just learning, you know, this is how babies are made and, you know, here's how
mm-hmm.
to not get pregnant, we learned about, wow, you know, so sexuality and sexual pleasure and sexual desire is healthy. And it's also really important that whoever you're engaging with, you do it in a way that's consensual and
right.
respectful and that you're communicating.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, self-pleasuring is really healthy too. And here's some different
yes.
ways that you can pleasure yourself. And then when you learn how to pleasure yourself, then you feel more comfortable sharing that with a partner when you get to the point when you have a partner. Oh, and here, you know, and because we're being mindful about sex, we want to make sure that we don't have babies before we're ready. So here's some
mm-hmm.
things that we can do
right.
to make sure that we have choice around when we reproduce. And for the rest of the time, we just get to have this really beautiful, pleasurable experience that's healthy for our brains and healthy for our bodies. Imagine what the world
right.
would be like if that was the kind of messaging we received around sexuality from the time we were little.
That would greatly change the landscape of a lot of things, just how we approach life, period.
Yes.
A lot of people, just the ideas around sex, because I'm so frustrated being in the South, in the Bible Belt, trying my best to teach people about healthy sexuality, and you're getting the resistance from the adults, not the kids, but from the adults, because the idea and the cultural norm for so long has been this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Oh, but I'm going to sneak away and do this, but this is bad, you don't do this. And that, to me, that never made sense. It just didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a form of cognitive dissonance. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's deeply traumatizing to our psyche. The other thing to take into consideration when addressing sexuality with, you know, people in the Bible Belt is 1 in 4 women has experienced some form of sexual assault.
Yes.
1 in 6
yes.
men has experienced some form of, you know, sexual violation.
That's true.
And so a lot of times, you know, that's a large demographic of people. That is a lot of people.
It
so
is.
Very often, if we've experienced sexual trauma, we want to shut down and we want to avoid it. And we want to avoid any conversation about sexuality because it triggers our trauma that we haven't, you know, had the support to face and resolve. And so it is frustrating. I hear that because, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's like, if we're supposed to have healthy, you know, if in Christianity we're supposed to be married for the rest of our lives, how are we going to stay married for the rest of our lives if we don't have a healthy sex life? That is integral to having a healthy marriage, right? You know, having a healthy sex life with each other if you want to stay together. And so it's frustrating when there's resistance to just having some basic education about how you can make your intimacy better as a couple. Like, who doesn't want that? But what I found in my work through the years, this is, you know, when we say that we're trauma-informed, that means that I'm constantly looking through this lens of observing and understanding how trauma manifests, unresolved trauma manifests in us as adults. And one of the ways that sexual trauma will manifest in us as adults is an aversion to it at all, an aversion to talking about it, thinking about it, doing it. You know, you just kind of close your eyes and plug your nose and just hope for the best kind of thing, because there's so much wounding there. There's so much pain there that hasn't been resolved and processed. So I really think that is kind of at the root of a lot of this avoidance of having conversations about sexuality is the trauma that's still alive and present for so many people.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree. It's overlooked a lot because most people we come in contact with are not prepared or not even educated enough to recognize it or even deal with it. So it's never going to be recognized.
Exactly. And that's a huge failing in our society. Like, trauma it can be overt. It can be, you know, like an assault or a rape or something like that. But as I said, it could also be living in a culture that has this cognitive dissonance about sexuality. Right. It's like it's a normal, healthy appetite, but you're supposed to feel guilt and shame about it. Well, imagine if you felt guilt and shame every time you got hungry for food. I mean, you know, we would be like, we would be unwell, right? We would be deeply unwell. And that's what this culture is deeply unwell in regards to sexuality.
That's a great analogy. Yes, that's true. So with that being said, I want to talk about pleasure, because that to me, honestly, the idea of total pleasure, I've never really thought about sexual. I thought about pleasure, but not total pleasure until I was listening to one of your a number of your podcasts, and I think one of them you were talking about the lack of touch men receive.
Yeah.
And I was listening, I was thinking about, you know what? I was like, I'm one of those men who, first of all, never thought about it. And two, as I started jogging my memory of my sexual experiences, touch is one of the things that I've least experienced. So now I'm thinking about, okay, but even in these situations, I still had an orgasm. So my question is there a difference between pleasure and an orgasm? And if so, can you break it down for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you know the answer to that because you've experienced that.
Yes.
But one of the things we talk about in Tantra is that orgasm is not the goal. So orgasm is a peak experience of pleasure. And there, you know, just to give you an idea, the male body, so you as a male, can have over 8 different kinds of orgasm. The female body can have as many as 15 different kinds of orgasm. So our orgasmic potential is so much vaster than what we've been led to believe. For many people, orgasm is nothing more than a genital sneeze. It's a pleasurable sneeze. It's a pleasurable release, but it's very short. It's very quick. And it isn't a full body experience. It's just in the genitals and that's it. And then it's over. It lasts maybe half a second, right? So that's most people's experience of orgasm. And unfortunately, again, the way we're conditioned in this culture is to make the orgasm the goal. And so you're just focusing on trying to get somewhere as opposed to enjoying the ride. Sexual pleasure, on the other hand, is a journey. And when we can focus on the pleasure and the connection with ourselves and with our partner that is cultivated through this pleasurable experience, our ability to have all these different flavors of orgasm arises naturally and completely without effort. Mm-hmm. Orgasm is the body's natural response to pleasure. It is the body's natural response to pleasure. But what we want to do, or I should say, and what we want to do, is we just want to focus on pleasure and how wonderful that is. And as one of the things I talk about frequently, and this is in my book, is there's four different forms of pleasure that we're able to access as human beings. So, of course, we have the sexual pleasure, but we also have sensual pleasure. So sensual pleasure meaning having to do with our five senses. So taste pleasure, sight pleasure, sound pleasure, touch pleasure, smell pleasure. So enhancing our senses in a way that's pleasurable and enriching. We can have emotional pleasure, experiences which fill our heart with joy and make us feel expansive. And we can have spiritual pleasure, those experiences that help us connect with a greater sense of self. And so all these different forms of pleasure are enriching for us on a energetic level, on a psychological level, but even on a very basic physical level. So when we experience any of those four forms of pleasure, our body starts producing a cascade of hormones and neurotransmitters and vitamins and nutrients that support our physical health and wellness. So for example, there's a DHEA that's released during a sexual stimulation that's really good for cardiovascular and heart health. There's oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, all sorts of chemicals are released in our bloodstream and in our bodies when we experience any kind of pleasure. But here's the thing. When we experience sexual pleasure, these hormones are produced at 300 times the normal amount. 300 times the normal amount. So the quickest, fastest way of building these life-enriching, health-supporting, vitality-increasing hormones and chemicals in the bloodstream, the fastest, quickest way to build those is through sexual pleasure.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I think, I know for me personally, I am more conscious of focusing on the pleasure rather than just the orgasm. And I thank you for that. But yeah, we are an orgasm-driven culture. Like my whole, everything that I, as you were talking, I'm listening and I'm thinking about what I was taught about sex, who taught me about sex, where they taught me, why they taught me, what they taught me. But it, like you say, it was all about, all right, as a dude, you jackhammer the girl until she has an orgasm and she can't leave and she can't move anymore, and that's how you know you're the man. Because it was a self-esteem driven thing for me, and I'm conscious enough to admit it now that a lot of my self-esteem when I was younger came from trying to have sex or having sex with as many women as possible and trying to give out as many orgasms as possible. And so being able to be exposed to different information, different situations, and different people has helped me now to understand that, you know, dogs have sex, lizards have sex, birds have sex, and we're part of the a whole group of sexual beings that's on this planet, and we're not special because we have sex. So let's think different about it and look at sex from a more holistic standpoint. So, yeah,
and that's a really great point. It's like, you're right. We're animals and we all have sex. And yet, you know, there's like people talking in regards to sex education. They're like, oh, well, sex is natural. Mm-hmm. Why should I be educated about it? Well, so is eating food. But, you know, we're educated about how to cook. Right. We don't just eat stuff raw. Right. We educate ourselves about how to prepare food in a way that's really beautiful and delicious and enriching and healthy for us. Well, same with sex. Sex is literally like food. It's enriching, it's nourishing for your body, mind, and spirit. So why wouldn't we want to take the time to learn how to cultivate gourmet sex? Like, that's what we're talking about, gourmet sex. And, you know, and that message, speaking to the message that you received, you know, as a young man, which is you're just supposed to pound these women into orgasm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, that's porn, right? That's the education that porn gives.
Exactly.
And a lot of that really hard, they call it jackrabbit sex. A lot of that really hard, driven jackrabbit sex that they show in porn has to do with the fact that the men's penises are numb. They have to pound that hard because the men's penises are numb, and sometimes the women's vaginas are numb, and that's what it takes for them to feel anything. But your average everyday person does not need to be pounded into oblivion. And in fact, when we slow down and work with the body instead of working against the body, when we work with the body, our sexual experiences do become more holistic. We engage the heart. We engage love. We engage the mind and the intellect. We engage the energy body. We engage the soul. And that is going, the effect over the entire system is going to be healing and enriching and balancing in a way that, you know, jackhammering simply can't be.
Right, right. You know, quick story. Not that, because when you said the penis is numb, I remember, I think it was my first or second year in college, I was working at one of the local Goodwills here, and the store manager would always brag about his the time he can last in bed. And that's one of the things that he said. But, you know, I'm what, 18, 19 then. I'm not really truly understanding everything about sex. But he was like, you know, when the head of my penis go numb, I can last all night. And my friend and I, we thought that that was supposed to happen. So now that you said that, you're saying what you said, you made me go back to that moment. But then just thinking about my different sexual experiences, me thinking that, okay, the head of my penis is numb, so it's time to go all night. When, okay, well, that's not pleasant. As you say, you're working against the body rather than working with the body. And it all makes sense now.
And then the other thing that a lot of Western people aren't aware of, or at least in North America, is the impact of infant male circumcision. So when you are just a few days old and the foreskin is removed, that's a form of torture. It's genital mutilation. Right. It's been shown to cause irreversible brain damage in the areas that regulate emotion in the brain, and it is a sexual trauma. And you lose 20,000 nerve endings, as many, or if not more than 20,000 nerve endings, you're losing the most sensitive part of your penis. And so many men, we know that when there is a trauma, one of the symptoms of trauma is numbness, is desensitization. Yeah. So many men have numb shafts. So many men who have been circumcised, the whole shaft of their penis is completely numb because of the trauma of circumcision.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that is true. That is true. So earlier we were, or throughout this interview, we've been talking about Tantra. And Tibetan five-element Tantra. I've never heard of that before until I started watching your videos. And my introduction to Tantra was, the way it was given to me is, this is a practice that you can do to help you last all night. And then as I did my own research and learned more, I was like, okay, that's the college guy Western version. So what's the difference between standard Tantra and Tibetan five-element Tantra?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first I want to say that what Tantra actually is an ancient spiritual science that began in India several thousand years ago. And there are a variety of different lineages and orientations and approaches to traditional Tantra. Around the 7th century, the Tantra teachings from India began to spread in all over Southeast Asia, and then eventually up into Tibet. And so what we have now from India, China, Tibet, other places in Southeast Asia, again, are very different approaches to Tantra, but at the core of these approaches is spiritual realization. Some of these approaches to Tantra incorporate sexuality, and some of them do not. So Tantra is literally a yogic practice that can be done sexually or non-sexually. So that is how I was introduced to Tantra, as either a sexual or a non-sexual mindfulness practice, essentially, that can be applied to different areas of your life. Now, what most people call Tantra in North America is actually what we refer to as Neo-Tantra. And Neo-Tantra is a Western European adaptation of these ancient Indian teachings. So it's pretty much it started out as a version of cultural appropriation. that's essentially what it was. The Westerners were like, this is groovy sex stuff. We're going to take this and we're going to make it into something, right? So what most people think of Tantra in North America is Neo-Tantra. And so that's why I really, you know, I specify that what we teach is rooted in these Tibetan five element teachings. We call the version of Tantra, the style of Tantra that we practice, authentic Tantra, because it is rooted in these lineage-based methods from Tibet. So five element Tantra it gives us the ability to work with all of our major energy centers, all of our chakras, which also correspond to the elements of our natural environment. So the five elements are earth, water, fire, air, and space. And if we just simply observe everything in our physical reality, our bodies, you know, the trees, the environment, everything is made up of one or more of these five elements. We're basically a walking, talking combination of the five elements. In the Eastern tradition, all illness and dysfunction is a result of an imbalance in one or more of these five elements. So if I'm sick, you know, if I go to a Tibetan doctor and I'm sick, the first thing this Tibetan doctor is going to do is try to diagnose which of my elemental systems are out of balance and are allowing for the illness to occur. So Tibetan five-element Tantra is a way of using these lineage-based sexual and non-sexual methods to access all of our major energy centers with mindfulness and restore balance, restore health, clear blockages. So if we have, you know, traumas and woundings and stuff, clear those out of the energy body, clear those out of the physical body, and to cultivate our sexual energy and direct it specifically for the purpose of healing and enrichment. So Tibetan five-element Tantra, in short, are very, very ancient teachings on how to harness our sexual energy and use it for healing and regeneration.
Okay. Now, I am looking more into that. I'm studying more into that because I'm fascinated by that. I've always been into health. I was a former athlete, so being healthy, being in shape, all these different things have always interested me. And when I learned about holistic health, and then when I learned about how sexual health is a big part of holistic health, it's kind of it's a full circle for me. So that's why I do my best to be I'm changing habits. I'm doing my best to break some of these habits that were, or these norms, to create new norms in my life, new sexual norms, new holistic norms when it comes to just the wholeness of sex and sexuality. Even like I hate that there's some point I was taught to look at women only as sexual objects. And so I'm at some point now, I still have to catch myself when I see a woman who I think is attractive, and then the next thought pop in my head is a sex thought. And sometimes I'm confused, sometimes I'm mad at myself, sometimes I'm not. But then, as I was saying, I started thinking about what you were saying earlier about not being ashamed about sex and sexuality, but I'm trying to make sure I find a line to where I'm not objectifying a woman, but I am embracing sexuality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to, you know, say that your sexual desire is healthy and natural. And it's natural to see an attractive person and feel aroused. There's no shame in feeling aroused. we just want to be mindful of what we do with that. So you can feel aroused by a woman and still engage with her from a place of respect and consideration and not objectify her.
True.
Objectifying her is how you engage with her. Having a desire and feeling arousal, that's normal. And you shouldn't suppress that. I'm going to encourage you to just allow it to arise without judgment. Say, wow, okay, I'm very, very aroused by this person. How can I engage with her in a way that's really respectful and considerate?
Okay, that makes sense. As I was saying, I started thinking about what you were saying. So it kind of helped me not go so far into it, like as far as the guilt aspect, because as you keep reiterating, it's okay to have those sexual feelings.
Absolutely. It's normal. Just like, you know, when you're hungry and you smell food, you're like, your mouth waters. You're like, I want to eat some dinner, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's natural. It's what we do with it. It's what we do with it. It's how we interact. It's the energy that we send out that matters, right?
Right.
So,
yes, ma'am.
So yeah. Yeah. Desire is healthy and normal.
Yes, that's great. That's great. So how have you been able to use all of your teachings to help someone heal from sexual trauma? Like, what are some things that you do with clients to help them get to a healthy point in their life when they're looking at sex and sexuality?
Yeah, so through my own training process, I developed curriculum. I developed a program to support people in transforming their relationship to their sexuality, healing sexual trauma, and awakening their birthright to pleasure. And so we work with what we call the four pillars of authentic tantra. And the four pillars are meditation. So the meditations are these lineage-based Tibetan five-element practices that help us to balance, heal, and enrich the energy body. Meditation practices, we work with movement practices, so learning and understanding how movement is a healing art, how we can balance the elemental energies in our body through specific movements and through breath and through the joy, the pleasure and the joy of movement and dance. And then we also work with Taoist sexual yoga practices to support genital health and wellness, so pelvic floor exercises, jade egg exercises, and all of these things help create genital tone, which is really important for our health and well-being. We look at connection, so connection to self, connection to partner, exploring some of the messages we received about our sexuality, you know, exploring where did this shame come from, who told me to feel shame about my sexuality, when did that occur. And then we use a communication tool called nonviolent communication or compassionate communication that was developed by a psychologist, Dr. Marshall Rosenberg, several years ago. And so we use that as a tool to really cultivate self-love and self-compassion and help translate and make sense out of some of the stuff that arises through the process. And then we use pleasure as medicine. And with pleasure, we focus on, as I said, cultivating the four forms of pleasure, cultivating what we call pleasure consciousness, which is really like observing and acknowledging how pleasure is available to us in every moment if we pay attention to it. And then we focus on using somatic sexual healing methods to release tension, wounding, emotion, trauma from the genitals, and restore our capacity for pleasure. So all four of these together create a holistic modality for healing and empowerment in every area of your life.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Because it's hitting on things that I've never heard of before, but it all makes sense. Like, just being able to release different forms of trauma from your body as a whole.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Because I guess when I think about trauma, I guess if I can explain it the best, it seems as if trauma is something that's on an emotional level, but I know it's greater than an emotional level, but it's perceived that it's only held at that emotional level. And once you cure that emotional level, everything else will fall in line. But you are saying you're using methods to cure trauma on emotional, physical, psychological, spiritual, all these different levels need to make sure that you heal so that you can be one, whether you are in a sexual situation or not.
Yes, exactly. So this is the thing that again, most people who don't study trauma for part of their living aren't aware of, that trauma is actually a physiological issue with psychological results. Trauma affects your nervous system and your brain. And trauma does not have to be, there's different kinds of trauma. There's shock trauma, which happens like in a car accident or a war or an assault. There is relational trauma, which occurs with our parents when we're children, often referred to as attachment trauma. There's developmental trauma, which when we are certain stages of human development, if our biological requirements for life are not met, it causes distortions in the brain. So, for instance, there are 5 biologically based needs that must be met in order for humans to have healthy brain development. And those 5 biological needs are connection, attunement, trust, autonomy, and love/sexuality. So if there are interruptions in connection, if there's interruptions in attunement or trust or any of these biological needs, it literally damages areas of the brain, creates distorted neural pathways, and develops into psychological issues later on in life, as well as physical health issues. Like most physical health issues, chronic health issues, can be traced back to early childhood trauma, like 100%. And trauma is also something that is intergenerational. So we carry trauma in our DNA. It literally alters our DNA. Right. And this is one of the things that I feel very passionately about, particularly with the African American community, because the trauma that our ancestors experienced through slavery is still operating within us on a cellular level.
It is.
Until it's been resolved, it is going to continue to be carried forward, literally on a cellular level. So it's critical, it's crucial that we tend to our healing in the ways that feel most aligned to us, to transform that so that we don't pass that down to our children and our grandchildren.
That's true. That is so true. That's why I'm thankful that you are giving healing and you're dealing with people from the aspect that you are, because you're helping people empower themselves from the inside out. And we need more empowered people, because through my years of doing HIV/AIDS prevention training, I started off doing sexual and domestic violence prevention. And so I got a chance to see firsthand a lot of men and women. Like, it blew my mind the amount of women who were affected by various forms of trauma, but it also blew my mind the amount of men who were who experienced the trauma. And we focus on the self-esteem and things of women a lot, and we should, but as a man, I sat down and thought about, you know, nobody's ever focused on my self-esteem. Nobody's ever focused on my healthy sexuality. Nobody's ever focused on that. So I try. That's one reason why I'm glad you're on this conversation. I want to be able to have this type of conversation with you, to learn more, to ask more questions, but also hopefully we can get more conversations started with men talking about sex and sexuality and trauma, and being able to come out of this man box that we're put in and explore ourselves as human beings.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in this society, all genders are traumatized. I mean, that's just like that.
Right.
Is like, honestly, like doing like we I devote so much time to studying and learning about trauma and the way it appears in life and blood and the way it shows up. And we live in a trauma based society. So it is inescapable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's going to be some degree of trauma that's active and alive within each of us until we resolve it. And what you're saying is absolutely correct. You guys really get the short end of the stick. You really do. You're socialized to have two emotions, anger and lust. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And which keeps you like so one dimensional and locked into this box, and you're divorced from your sensuality, and you're taught to just, like you were saying, like, you know, jackhammer sex, right? Like that,
right.
That's what all you're allowed. And you're not able to really, you're not encouraged to explore and embrace and relax into the totality of your humanity. And that's devastating.
Right.
And then, top it off, and then you're sent to war.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's just, I just have so much empathy and compassion for the men in our society, because you guys are really given the short end of the stick. And it is, we as women, we need your healing as much as we need our healing. Like, we have to be healing together.
Yes.
And that is how we heal communities. We heal ourselves, like you said, from the inside out. We heal our most intimate relationships. And then from there, we heal our families and our communities. That is how our communities begin healing, is through us as individuals taking it on to move past, to resolve, to process through and be free of our ancestral trauma, our generational trauma, and the trauma that we've acquired and accumulated in this lifetime, so that we can be healthier human beings and have healthier relationships with ourselves, with each other, and with our entire society. So it's such an imperative. It really is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I appreciate you saying that. Yes, it is. Sex Medicine is the name of your podcast. What's the name of your book?
Oh, yeah. The name of my book is called Shake Your Soul Song, A Woman's Guide to Self-Empowerment Through the Art of Self-Pleasure. So you can find that on Amazon. Shake Your Soul Song by Davy Ward. I didn't have the Erickson on my last name at that point. And it really is, it's a step-by-step guide for women to reclaim their birthright to pleasure and to explore their sexuality from a standpoint of sacredness and healing. And I'm very practical as an instructor. Like, I like to give you stuff to do. I don't want to just talk at you and give you information. It's like, I want to give you homework. I want to give you yoga. So the book contains meditation practices. It contains movement practices, some sexual self-connection practices, journaling exercises. So it really is a manual for you to begin your journey of sexual healing and empowerment. And it's really great for men to read, too, because it's a bird's eye, kind of a bird's eye view, or a lens, I'll say, into cisgender, heterosexual, female sexuality.
Okay. I definitely have to get my copy. I definitely have to.
Yes, good.
Yes. Could you also give my audience a synopsis of your podcast? And I encourage everybody to go listen.
Yeah, Sex is Medicine. So I'm just going to say that I found that we were on Spotify. I don't know if you guys, like, everybody listens to Spotify. I think everybody does. And we're on Spotify. I love it. So Sex is Medicine. I've been on air now for 7 years. I've been on air now. Just crossed the threshold of 7 years. And we have, like, almost 200 episodes. We cover everything. So I'm very curious, and I have had the great honor and the privilege of speaking with some of the top experts in the field of healing childhood sexual trauma, sex work, sensual massage, oral sex, sex games, anal sex, BDSM, kinky sex, tantric sex, anything that you can imagine. Recently, I've really been wanting to highlight sexual healing, what that means for women, what that means for men, and then recently we've done episodes specifically targeting the Black community. So what is sexual healing for Black women look like specifically? What does sexual healing for Black men look like specifically? So I have the great good fortune of having a really wonderful platform, and I really, you know, I like to get people that on the show that are kind of obscure, right? So it's like they're really qualified in their field, but maybe they're not like super well known in mainstream society.
Right.
So I really like to highlight the voices is kind of the people who are just your regular average everyday people doing incredible work in the field of sexology and sexual healing, and share their message with all of our listeners.
Yes, we definitely appreciate it because you have great guests. You have great conversations. I can watch your channel for hours. I can listen to your podcast for hours. And, I learn a lot. So I definitely encourage all my listeners to go check out her podcast, Sex is Medicine. Where can people find you? We know you told us about your podcast, told us about your book. How can people contact you on social media? What's your website? How can more people get involved with what you have going on?
Yeah, so our main platform right now, our main foundation is AuthenticTantra.com. So Authentic Tantra is our website for our school, which is the Institute of Authentic Tantra Education, and we are the first and only government-accredited school for tantric sexual healing in the world. So we went through all the red tape and jumped through all the bureaucratic hoops, and we are accredited through the government of Canada, the Ministry of Education, to offer these teachings in a way that's ethical, and also to provide professional certification training in the field of sexology. So that was a huge accomplishment. Like, literally, I'm not joking, nobody else in the world has done this. So we're the first and the only currently. And as I said, you can find us at AuthenticTantra.com. You can find us on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Authentic Tantra. That's where to find us. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. We have tons of free content on our website. We have the YouTube channel, Sex is Medicine, which is just hours and hours of free content. We have ebooks on our website that you can sign up for that will give you a little bit more information about the Tibetan Five Elements and some practices that you can start using in your life right now to cultivate more awareness of them. And just all kinds of every Saturday morning, we have a blog that goes out. So we just really like contributing to the community with lots of really excellent free content.
Yes, and I don't know how many times I can say it, but you would definitely learn something new every time you tune in to her podcast, to just all of her information. Make sure you take full advantage of it. I'd like to thank you once again, Ms. Debbie. It's been a pleasure. This is, like I said, your name has been on my list of people who I just had to have on my podcast. I cherish your information. I'm thankful for everything that you bring to the table. I learned a lot today. I learned more than I expected to learn, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you so much. It's been such an honor spending time with you. I really appreciate it. And feel free to invite me back anytime. It's an absolute pleasure connecting.
Oh, you know it. Yes, ma'am. You know, I'm definitely going to stay in contact with you so we can have more conversations in the future.
Sounds good.
Yes, ma'am. I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Hey, man. Look, that was an excellent. She just dropped gems all over the place, like Mansa Musa style. Just gave a lot of information. But one of the reasons I really wanted her on is to do what she just did. Give real information, good information, tried and true information, research based information has been used for thousands of years, not just some cookie cutter information that people have. I've had all types of conversations about sex, and this was one of the realest conversations I've had about sex. I learned a lot of things. I definitely learned, and I'm not ashamed to say, yeah, I'm a person who loves sex, but I know I don't know it all. And having someone like Ms. Debbie on had really helped expand the knowledge base. But the thing is about healing, it's about pleasure, right? Rather than having the same old normal, traumatic, unpleasurable, pornographic, just bam, 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 thank you, ma'am, sex. I know for me, I didn't want to have sex like that no more. I refuse to have sex like that again. Like, I went like a year without having sex. What it was, 2018, because I was just tired of the same old, same old. and definitely learned a lot of new things. And I think late 2018, early 2019 is when I came across her information. So Dr. War Erickson, make sure you all check out Sex is Medicine podcast. She just brings the truth. She brings the heat. So y'all make sure you all check it out. Once again, make sure y'all check out our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, that we can learn more about myself, Patrick Irvin. We got sponsorship packages coming up. So for all you business owners who are looking for an affordable way to promote your business, to put advertisements up for your business that would reach at least 250,000, a quarter million. So make sure you all check us out, because we have what you need for all our business owners. Once again, I am Bill Savoy. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. And we're here to give you what you need when you need what you need. This is media designed to free your mind. So with that being said, you know what I'm saying? I just enjoyed this podcast today, though. But with that being said, two fingers in the air like a player. Y'all know I'm up out of here, so I'll see y'all later. Peace out.